We thank you, Lord, for the messages we just heard from our brothers. We appreciate the time and effort they put into it. And we're especially thankful for your Spirit guiding them. And Father, we ask you to take the conviction that came from these messages and help us to apply it to our lives. And Father, in this next few minutes, I ask that you speak through me, your word, to the people, that we may draw closer to you and know you better. In Christ's name. Question, or the reference to begin with, is the MacArthur Bible. And the question tonight, what is James saying? What did James say to the rich Jews in his time? And what's he saying it to us today? Well, here we are in the last chapter of James. This book has a devotion to direct, pungent statements on wise living. It's very similar to Proverbs. It has a practical emphasis, not stressing theoretical knowledge, but godly Christian living. James wrote with the authority of one who had been with Christ and who was recognized as being associated with the apostles. Let's read the scripture. James chapter 5, verse 1. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days. The rich in this verse are described as those with more than they need to live. A lot of the world today would fall in that category, especially America, and probably most of us here this evening. James condemns the rich for not being wealthy, but for misusing their resources. They profess Christian faith and had associated themselves with the church, but their real God was money. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon being described as earthly material treasures, especially money. It takes money to acquire earthly treasures, and that produces the love of money. 1 Timothy 6:10 tells us, "For the love of money is a root of all evil, of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Money itself is not evil. It is a gift from God. It's the attitude of heart toward money, the love of money, that's the problem. A very familiar verse in Exodus 20, verse 3, tells us, "You shall have no other gods before me." Exodus 25 says, "Our God is a jealous God." These rich Jews in James' day were trying to have the best of both God and the world. Many Pharisees in that day taught that devotion to money and to God were perfectly compatible. The common notion held was that earthly riches signified divine blessing. Rich people were regarded as God's favorites. These Jews were oppressing everyone around them, as we'll see in the next message. In comparison, the rich Jews in 1 Timothy 6:17-19, who were true believers, gave unselfishly and generously to the needs of those around them. Because of this, they have laid up a good foundation of eternal investments waiting for them in heaven. Riches bring worry, frustration, and unrest. Riches breeds pride, and pride steals God's glory. Proverbs 11:4 says, "Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death." In verse 28 of the same chapter, it says, "He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. Proverbs 27:24 says, "For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations." Exodus 20, verse 5 tells us again that God is a jealous God. His glory belongs to Him only. These rich Jews who associated themselves with the church were prostituting the goodness and generosity of God and met divine punishment. In verse 2 and part of 3, James points out the folly of hoarding earthly treasures, especially money, all of which is subject to decay, theft, fire, or other loss, like God's wrath. I've seen people I have known hoard up earthly treasures and then die. They never took one thing with them, and their family was left to fight over it. They will stand before a holy God with nothing but their shame and great fear. These verses are very sobering. The things in this life are here as tools to glorify God. Having that as a reality in our lives as believers is huge. I'm so thankful God has begun to teach me to trust in Him alone. Thank God for His mercy and faithfulness to us. In the last part of verse 3, the last days in this verse refers to the period between Christ's first and second coming. James rebukes the rich for living as if Jesus were never coming again. I think all of us can remember someone who reminds us of the Jews in James's day. If they are still on this earth, say a prayer for them each time you think of them, that God will have mercy on their souls. In ending, what is James saying to us in this passage? I see two very important things. Number one, don't be envious of rich people. Chances are riches are their security, and therefore they have none. With riches come many sorrows, unrest, and pride. And then they have a date of judgment with the holy God. Number two, as believers, we need to set our priorities in God's order and live solely and soberly for His glory and the good of others. It's my prayer that I would experience God like King David did in the Old Testament. We have total security in Christ and His righteousness. Let us never fail to thank Him for His love and mercy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for Your Word, for Your Holy Spirit that teaches us. And Father, we thank You for this church. I thank You for my brothers as we preach together and we draw closer and we learn more about You. And Father, we ask that You take these words and bring glory to Your name and help to others. In Christ's name, amen.